Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your co-host, Carl. And this week, my friends, we have a very special guest. My dear, dear buddy, Tom Palmieri. Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Carl, for inviting me and for that beautiful introduction.
Wasn't it beautiful? It's just like very butter. Nice. It was so smooth. It's like we just jumped on and just started doing this.
Totally spontaneous.
Yeah.
Single take, people.
Yeah. Okay, so today we're going to discuss Extant. We haven't talked about that a while since we had our special guest.
That was awesome. That
yes.
was awesome.
And what was he? He was Michael O'Neill.
Michael O'Neill was our guest.
Yes. And we were very excited that Extant got renewed for a second season in the hopes that we would get to see Michael O'Neill.
He's great. We really wanted, because, you know, he could have broken out of that, you know, patty room, whatever they put him in. He could have gotten out.
Whatever. But, you know, I just kept thinking that there was a spot for him in the show. We're jumping ahead. Let's just jump ahead. So
okay, well, hang on. Before we jump ahead, can we just reiterate the minor detail of what a shock it was that Extant got renewed? I mean, let's just back up to how the season one ended, all right? I mean, everybody was dead, thrown in jail, the robot had exploded, there was peace in the AI world, the sets had gotten broken down, there were rumors that Halle Berry had accepted a role on some medical show, and as sci-fi fans, we are used to our shows that we, you know, it started getting interested in, being neatly, well, here's a quality, being buttoned up a little before their time. And so to have an episode, to have a series that actually tapered to an ending, I was like, oh, well, you know, Extant, it was kind of interesting. That was unique. And, oh, well, what are we going to do next? And then, like, out of the woodwork, just, I mean, and it wasn't, no, there was no fanfare involved in this either. It was just
hey,
like,
Carl,
you know,
I was completely surprised. I accidentally clicked a link online and found that there was another episode.
I think that's what happened to most people. They slid a note in class. There was remember all the big advertising for Extant when it first came out, Halle Berry and Steven Spielberg, and it was ads every week. How did anybody find out that it had gotten renewed? I think like a homeless dude whispered it to me once. I had no idea that the show had gotten renewed. So by the time I got over the shock, and of course we all were going, well, how could it be renewed? Who's going to be in it? What's going on? Somehow, like two episodes had already aired, and so
good actors all back in there.
Yeah, there you go. See, that was the shocking thing as well. Good people came back, or they found some good people. But I just want to express my shock and surprise at Extant coming back, the unusualness of it being a sci-fi program that we all thought got canceled that had an ending, as opposed to the shows that we were really into that got canceled.
Firefly.
Canceled abruptly. What was it? Farscape. You know, just that just ended. So this is the weirdest kind of thing going on with this series. So, okay. So,
but you know, but on top of that, though, when you say you didn't know it was coming back, the way the second season feel to me, you know how like when you first watch Earth Final Conflict, and it was the first.
Why? Are
it
you
was
even
the first.
That up?
Just roll with me for a second. Okay, so you watched it, and those first couple of seasons were like, oh yeah, okay, I could do this. And then you stopped watching it, and then you like picked it up back for the fifth season, and you're like, what the hell is an atavist? What are they doing? Why do they have on these rubber tire suits? What the hell is going on? That's how the difference between the first season of Extant and the second season Extant feels. So we're going to get into now. Yes, we got over the shock of it coming back, but let's talk about this second season. And we have time here to keep Carl and I sane, maybe, because he said he gets cranky. So it might just be a totally cranky podcast here. But Let me first off by say, you know, usually this is very feminist of the show that when somebody isn't working out on the show, it's usually the woman that is replaced. Okay. Not so this season. The husband was conveniently killed and replaced by the steamy hot Daddy Winchester from Supernatural.
Conveniently killed. Yeah. Conveniently. Yeah. Conveniently. It didn't seem at all forced. It was rushed at all.
That was a wonderful moment. That was them saying to their audience, hey, we know how you feel. And we'd like to take a moment to just prove ourselves to you. You know, I mean, that they practically broke the fourth wall with that.
Yeah.
By killing him, nobody liked him?
Go ahead.
Did nobody like him, Tom?
Well,
he was not everyone's favorite character.
Yeah, I definitely got kind of a creepy vibe from him. I think maybe miscast. Mm. I got almost an Uncanny Valley thing from him. Of all
the
computers.
Oh, my God, and he's human.
Yeah, he was the one guy that I was like, hey, he need, you know, that's not realistic.
he's a robot.
Yeah, come on. So anyway, that when they went to kill him, I saw the train coming, and most of the actors were still there, and Halle Berry's still there, and so I'm thinking, oh, here comes another plot device where it looks like he's in, you know, he's never going to get out of this. And then in the last couple of seconds, I realized, hey, this is it for him. This is it for him. And honestly, that was my favorite moment in the whole show.
Oh my God, I cannot believe. I thought he was a very gentle and understanding husband. I didn't have a problem with him at all. I just really got into his character.
Okay.
I didn't find him creepy or miscast. I just thought that they were this nice interracial couple, and they were just seemed very loving towards each other. Now, when he started to piss me off is the thing that he started having with Skanky Julie. Now that's when it started to piss me off. That
could have been left out. I mean, I didn't need that either. Well, I'll get into that stuff later. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
I've got more to say about that.
So, I mean, this just reminds me of the time, you remember on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when they had like one wife and then like another season, they replaced the wife.
They swapped out Aunt Viv.
Yeah, yes. And she was just like the same. But, well, these are not the same characters because I guess, you know, they didn't want to give her a husband. But, I mean, keep her married, but just like swap out actors, which I'm glad they didn't do because it doesn't work anymore on TV. But I just thought it was just super jarring. That they just like, yeah, we're just going to kill this character off or whatever after all that time of making him the guy.
Prime character. Agree. Well, I got to agree with Tom. I thought he seemed a little unnatural during the first season. But the other thing is, Xtant was just trying all kinds of stuff during the first season.
That's
you know,
true.
We talked about this a little bit where it's like one episode felt like totally different from the next episode. And it was hard to try to get a feel for pacing and theme. So it's clear that season two was a pseudo reboot of
yes,
what they were
doing. Absolutely.
They just wiped the slate. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So to me, it feels like there have been three phases here. There was the whole first season felt like ingredients. So it's like people trying to make a pizza and they have all the ingredients for pizza and they just mix them together. That doesn't really give you a pizza.
Yeah.
And so that was the first season. Okay. And then the second season was, they're going to try again.
Yeah.
And they're going to basically just completely reboot it. And then I bought in, I was good with that. And then they started falling a little bit back into their old habits. But then in the very last few episodes, things have changed a lot.
Well, like what habits? Like what was bothering you when you said
that? Just the way that they
Are you talking about Molly or?
There's so much.
So the
way that they were handling suspense. Mm-hmm. was a mess. I mean, there has to be a natural rhythm of opening questions and then resolving questions. And there has to be short-term suspense getting resolved and then these long-term story arcs that eventually get resolved. And the whole first season was nothing was getting resolved. It was just a mess of, you know, every episode was like the same. There was something creepy happened to Holly Berry. The kid did something weird with birds. and the husband didn't believe his wife. And then it ended. And then there would, you know, the next episode would happen and the same thing would happen. So, you know what it felt like to me they were trying to build suspense, and if these people had done the movie Spider-Man, for example,
they would have
not told you about the spider bite. Okay, because they wanted you to be wondering about what was going on, and you would have wound up watching a half hour of a kid with sticky hands who can't hear real good. Okay. That would have been how they handled Spider-Man. And that's basically what they're – and it's just kind of, to me, a mishandling of suspense. And that was my big – that was one of my big problems.
Oh, okay.
With the whole first season. And they did a reboot with the first few episodes of the second season. And then they started falling back into her her hallucinating. And then when her fingernails started growing for no reason, I was done. Like that. The only reason I started watching the show again was because Carl told me, "Hey, we want you to complain about it too."
I had no idea he was forcing somebody else to be tortured with it. So let me tell you my problem. Okay, so the really exciting thing about the first season, of course, was they were in space. Okay. Mm-hmm. They had a space suit. It was very science fiction-y. They had all this advanced technology. They had cars. They went...
Yeah,
because
that's the sign of the
future. Be quiet, Carl. Be quiet, Carl. The clothing, the costuming looked like they tried to be a little futuristic. It felt like it was a futuristic science fiction show. Second season, while they had a little bit more focus, a bit more expensive characters and guest stars, it felt like Planet Canada. We did not go to space. There was nothing spacey about it. This latest episode had the very elaborate PowerPoint thing that they had in the first episode, but like in the guy's house from like Pitch Black or whatever. And I'm just like, what? It's like, okay. And then let's get to not only is it not in space, we have Holly Berry's son growing up really fast, a la the Jim Hadar from Deep Space Nine.
Yeah,
you know,
you
that grew up in
which son? But I got you now.
Okay, I'm sorry. The
alien
boy, son, whatever. So this was a thread. He was going around getting women pregnant. They were dying. Then he's like, "Oh, I learned my lesson. I know how to do it to him without killing them." And I'm just like, okay. Then like she did this thing where she was crazy for half the season. And it was just like, why are you crazy now? Oh, you're crazy because it just didn't make sense. The fingernail thing, like you said, Tom, it just... What? And then she's like,
"I was ready to, you know, I'll send Halle Berry a nail file. Just make it stop."
Well, right, I know. And then like she was sexually attracted to everybody. And then like, what? And then she stopped that. And somehow her and Daddy Winchester from Supernatural fell in love. Then there was a carnival.
Totally natural way.
Yeah,
totally
there was a carnival episode. That's when I knew.
I can't believe they shoved that cliche in there.
I was just like, really? Are they trying to get us there? This and so it was just it did not have to me the charm of the first season. Sure, the first season was all over the place. It was just it was a hot mess, but it was kind of enjoyable because at least they were in space and it was a physical science fiction. But then like this season we have the arrogant AI soldier, preteen, post-teen, or whatever, young adult chick, Lucy. Mm-hmm. Like, what is she doing now? Because she is the worst android that I have ever seen in life. Right?
Like, in what way do you mean worst? What
do you mean? Let me pour some wine.
Oh, here we go. This is about to get real interesting.
All right, while she's drinking, I think she touched on some important, which is the number of confusing things they've done with these alien characters.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they get old, they die, they come back, They have blackouts during which they do things they don't remember. They can feel each other's presence. They have a telepathic call to assemble via AM radio signal built out of information from DNA. They make other people see and do stuff without meaning to. They've got symbols showing up in weird places, okay? And they give people a geometric rash.
We nicknamed it the fractal rash here on the
show. Yeah, okay, crop circles on your neck, whatever. They make you see dead loved ones. They read your mind. They impregnate people. They make hybrids. They can screw up the DNA of the mother if they get somebody pregnant. They make people aroused during their blackouts. They have premonitions about the future, and then their nails grow.
But after all of that, they just want to be friends.
Yeah,
really.
They just want to share the planet.
Yeah. Because they figured it out now. So everything's cool. Everything's cool. Never mind all of that, you know, alien rape stuff, the lethal rape.
Never mind.
We worked that out. We created an origami memorial. We cool. So.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was ridiculous. And then there's, like, the different faction who's like, well, we're not doing it that way. And they're like, 3 days old or something. They're like, we want a revolution. And I'm like, what is happening right now? And then, like, they all died.
Uh-huh.
And then so they're not even there anymore. And then, like, her son did the whole get old thing and then died. But is he dead because...
He's just molting. Right. We don't know.
Yeah, yep. He's probably, like, yeah, just shedding his skin to be like a Holly. They never address that, because if she can die like that, but maybe she, because she's part human or was originally human, it doesn't. I don't know. Somebody take it over.
So again, trying to create suspense, just when they don't know what to do. Yeah. Every time they need to create suspense, they just make up something new and crazy, and it's very confusing is what it is. It's just really, really confusing.
And the recipe to create suspense normally takes a certain amount of time. You know, that you have to get invested in the character. There has to be a little bit of building towards something. They don't bother with that with extended I've noticed. No. They're going to introduce a person at the beginning of the episode. They're going to tell you how important they are to everyone in the story. And then about three quarters of the way, just go kill them off. Just randomly kill them off. No reason. They've had a little trouble with the suspense and the arc of suspense, and no doubt about that.
Yeah. They're not sure. They're not that sure what the show is about. And you know, they knew there was something was wrong because they rebooted. And, you know, one of the reasons I still am curious about it and go back to watch it is their willingness to change it when things aren't right, to just hit people with trains. Yeah. And personally, I love that as a device, a plot device, like anything, anytime the audience is unhappy with anything, you hit it with a train. Mm-hmm. I could use that Star Trek with some of the Ferengi characters, just a train.
Here we go.
Would have been really helpful.
Only thing more subtle, trapdoors. Just trapdoors. Yep. I mean, oh, you've forgotten. Drone missile. Drone missile. These things, they'll just wipe you right off the show.
So I appreciate their hustle and their chutzpah. And so I really like that. And I think, Carl will understand this, as a programmer, sometimes you know when you can't really fix something you've made. It needs to be rewritten, and the fact that they're willing to say, "Hey guys, we know this needs to be redone, and we're going to do it," and that is
a very, very generous of you to say. But what I see right now is some sloppiness. They don't know what the show is about, so they just keep hammering at it, and it makes something super inconsistent. Meanwhile, this show is going to get canceled this season, and it is not coming back. I know that for a fact now, just because I can tell.
I don't know. I think at this point, I think like Elon Musk likes it or something.
That's
what it feels like at this point.
I don't know what that's to like, because there's nothing science fiction about it anymore. It's just Halle Berry running around each week doing what now? I like her, but like, this just, it's not the same as the first season. She's not in space. She's a disgraced astronaut running around with a disgraced cop, and they have like Ethan's back with her, and then Ethan lost his memory for a while, and then like I keep hoping Julie would die, but they keep her alive because, and then now they've made up her and Halle Berry. You let's just let bygones be bygones. You slept with my husband, and you tried to take my son and wipe his memory from. You tried to take everything from me, but yeah, let's be girlfriends and do each other's hair.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? Look,
Kat, I'm glad you're having this reaction because I'm being kind. You're right, and that is the reaction. That I was so worried that I would come on here and everybody would like the show. See, yeah, the plot makes perfect sense. I totally get that. And Tom, you're just slow.
When has that ever happened here?
If anything, we on the Sci-Fi Party line, we encourage people to be themselves. So by all means, express yourself. Okay, look, I'll be the dissenting voice here.
Here we go.
Here's what I find fascinating about Extend. From the beginning, the first thing is we didn't know what the heck was going on. We did one show led into the next. It was totally different. We didn't know it was aliens, it's robots, it's the future, it's space, it's a family mystery.
It's a horror. We had no idea. Like,
and so when I found out it had been renewed, you know, two episodes in, I said, wow, how are they going to corral all of these nutty cats that are loose in the, how are they going to do it? And you know, despite the issues that we have discussed, they have managed to corral the insanity that was the first season. They now, I still don't know exactly what they're doing. No, they're not in space. There's a lot of stuff that I missed from the first season. But they have started to kind of bound the stuff that's going on.
Yep, past two or three episodes.
It's becoming about what
it's supposed to be about.
What? Now what exactly? Because I still don't see it.
All right, okay. All right, can I cut in, Carl?
Please, Tom, because I'm a little curious. What is the show about? Go ahead.
Yeah. I want somebody to know what the show is supposed to be about.
Go ahead.
I feel so bad for Halle Berry, who has to redo that intro on every episode.
My name is Holly Woods, and this week I'm an adventurer.
And my two sons, one is an AI, and one is a half alien hybrid.
My husband, he's a reincarnated ghost of an AI, and my boyfriend used to be a cop, but now but watch Extend, please.
That's exactly what is happening. Thank you, Carl. That's precisely. God. What's going on right now?
Please, okay. I know you've got more
anyway,
time. Matt. Yes, go ahead.
Anyway, there have been problems with handling the threads of the story, and I think this goes into what Kat was saying is it's with the problem with it. It's science fiction, but it's not about science. Where's the science? Yeah. Okay, and this shows up in a lot of science fiction these days, where you have the minor threads that are not about the science. About science, there's no science in it. All right. So let me get into what the show is supposed to be about.
Mm.
What we've got here is we've got two new life forms, two new sentient life forms, AI and aliens, and the human race is coming to grips with them. On top of that, there's a first contact thing going on. Here's what would excite me every time I see a plot thread about one of these things, the new sentient life forms, or or the idea of a very confusing first contact. Mm-hmm. That stuff can be fascinating, and you see it a lot with humans. Yeah. They're doing most of it right. Most of their subplots are about that, about people coming to grip with new sentient life forms.
Yes.
And even in humans, they can get it wrong. There are times when they'll do a little bit of family stuff that has nothing to do with that, and it's immediately boring when they do that.
Yes.
Okay. So I think there's an issue here of when it comes to a long-term arc, it has to really be tied into these things, the new sentient life forms, and a first contact. Kind of thing. That's what would satisfy me. And when they introduce a new arc, like who is Robot Boy's mommy? Okay, then it becomes very unsatisfying. Mm-hmm. And so, well, I guess that was a little different than Kat's thing about the about there not being enough science. Maybe that's a slightly separate thing, and I can talk about that later. However, that's what the show, I think, it should be about. And even in, like, if anyone read Ender's Game, the book.
Yes.
At the end of that, that's kind of what you find out about, is that these aliens were confused. Yeah. And they didn't even, they were so different from us that they didn't even realize we were sentient. And they created this, they basically created an enormous tragedy. Yes. And that was really, that was interesting. That kind
okay,
of thing
but came. That happened, and that was cool. That is not how it came across on Extant. I know where they were trying to go, but, like, I felt that they just did it poorly, and it felt like it was subpar writing for the channel that it was on. Like, it felt like it should be buried on Saturday night for the person who stays home and doesn't have a date, and they just, you know, from experience, and catching crazy science fiction crap at late at night. That didn't feel like it should have prime time spot. It felt like it was just haphazard the way it was written, and they just
I wasn't defending this is, I'm saying that this is what Extant should be about, and it's not. Wasn't defending it,
it, no, right. it is what it's trying to be, because it's trying to be about two new life forms, and it's trying to be about that, but it's also trying to be about military might, and then it's trying to be about a super AI named Taylor taking over and, you know, making this whole thing.
Who's the new villain now? Who's the guy? You know, every episode, you have a new villain that's going to threaten the entire planet.
Well, he's been the underlying villain the whole time, and we just didn't really know it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
See, and I can even, I'll even buy in. At least that's about a new piece of AI going sentient.
Yes.
And having a goal.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
At least. So I'll even.
That's what does it for you, Tom. The AI having a goal on this show. That's because that isn't enough.
My bar is very, very low.
Look, very low
at this point.
A world domination goal on Extant only requires about 15 minutes on a single episode. Oh, so, you know, you don't have to do a whole lot of arc on this show to handle it.
But did they kill the governor?
The Walking Dead governor?
Yeah, why did they kill the governor? That doesn't even make sense. He came in, he was big and bad, he was expensive, he was like, I'm in here and I'm running things. You know what? Michael O'Neill should have been in that. That should have been his role, you know what I'm saying? Or something. But, like, then they killed him with a drone. And it was basically the killing with the train all over again, because he's no longer useful, and he could be.
I don't think it was because he wasn't useful. It's probably because he's very expensive, and we had to move on.
He only did the one thing, and he did the one thing, and eye patch. Really?
Look, the man's in demand now. He's doing good.
Whatever.
Okay, all right. So let me again split the difference here. Let me try to split the difference, because, all right, so Tom, you got it right, man. And once you said it in an overarching theme, it sort of made sense, because, okay, the show is called Extant. And so it is. If you look through, you keep calling them story threads. They're actually more like story cotton balls. So you gotta pull, little pieces out. And try to
it's an old it. Sweater in the attic.
It really is. I mean, this is beyond yarn. So if you poke and pull at the cotton ball, you will see the main three threads, which is humanity worried about the AIs, worried about the aliens. Those are the three competing species on Earth that could lead to extinction. All right. I'm working with the cotton ball people. God. But that's really that. Okay, so.
The threads and cotton balls aren't that long, so I think maybe we should talk about a woven piece of textile that it is supposed to be, because it is a merged.
Piece has got a two-dimensional organization. We have not got 2D organization. All right, so I'm sticking with the cotton ball. But if you imagine, those are your big fat.
But you
yard
don't think it's
fan.
A tapestry instead no, of tapestry. Like a cotton.
Okay. Tapestry again.
The tapestry is planned. That has to be planned,
and or implies a higher organization. So all right. So I'm trying.
Well, then I think maybe you want like a tumbleweed, because cotton balls are arranged. Because
I will give you tumbleweed. I will accept that as well.
It keeps on going. A cottonweed keeps on going.
There you go. But hang on. So here's the point I'm trying to make. So the issue. So Tom, you got the main three threads. All right. So that's the extinction. Threat is we've got the AI, we got the humans. Extinction, right? We got that. Okay. Now, Kat, the meandering that you're detecting that's going all around, and particularly you made me really think about it when you said that this doesn't seem like a show that should be in prime time. This should be someplace. That's what the problem is. The whole first season, Extant was supposed to be this experiment. And you know how we, inside, you know, sci-fi fans, we get so tired of this. When they try to make a science fiction show into more, it's a family show. This is it's a prime time program, so it should appeal to more than just that science fiction audience. And so what they did is, and we saw it, they were trying to pull it in all of these different ways. Like I said, it was a cop show, it was a mystery, it was a family show, it was a horror, it was horror, it was all of this, because the show. It can't just tailor to a science fiction crowd. It's got to reach a broader audience. And there's no way that you can make a show do all of that. But they didn't know that, or they were trying to do something wacky. And so the whole first season was their exploration into all of these spaces while at the same time trying to hang on to Tom's big cotton ball three threads. You just couldn't. So, all right. Season two begins, and they said, all right, we lost it. This was going a little bit crazy. We need to combine it and simplify things. And they did, but the problem is they took it out on some of our favorite characters. What Halle Berry was when she came back for season two, now we know they like to take convenient paths with Extant. I'm not going to say cliche, because from show to show, I have no idea what's going to happen on this. I can't exactly use the term cliche, but they like to keep things very simple, let's just say. So what's the easiest way to deal with all of the things that Halle Berry has gone through?
Blow it up.
Easy. Well, no, we're talking about Halle Berry. We're talking about make her crazy. We locked her up. We just locked her up. And so now she's coming back, and now she's crazy. She's crazy, and she's got to. She's the only one that knows the truth about what's going on. And so, of course, they've got to. Who are they going to pair her with? Oh, a gruff cop now. Who's, of course, a buff gruff cop that, you know, and he doesn't believe in any of this mumbo jumbo alien.
He is loose with the ladies.
Oh, of course, because he's dashing. You know, he's got to be. He's basically the cop pirate. So now we got crazy Halle Berry. Coming out, we got our typical cop pirate coming out of there. All right, now what we're gonna do? Okay, well, we can't have Ethan as a ethereal ghost in the web, so we got to bring him back. All right, we got him back. Okay, who else we got? Grace. All right, so
the son, because we can't have two kids. We got to have an adult that we can actually have conversation with, maybe.
Well, remember, but he was pulling that whole Frankenstein kind of grunt the first couple of episodes. He wasn't really saying a whole lot, and then he like woke up, and you know, it was after he was you know killing and impregnating. So after that, he tightened up and got a little better. But okay, but hang on, I'm trying to. I'm trying to stick with Grace's Julie. Now, Julie's character. Now listen, I know how you feel about her. I actually liked her a lot for the first season.
Me too. She was like the one element of kindness and warmth. Yep. She and Charlie.
Really? Yep. A homewrecker?
You're right. Hold on. Kat's right. She was a homewrecker, and what they did with her character didn't work and pissed me off too.
But only at the end.
There was one, the glimmer of hope I had for Extant was in the first season when again, this fits into the idea of coming to terms with newly sentient life. She's part of creating this boy, and she feels like she's his mother. And you can see it in every in everything she does and the way she acts and the way she interacts with him. There's real warmth there. And when nobody cares about that, and what happens to him is at the whim of her boss and everybody else, it just breaks her heart.
Yeah.
And that to me, that was touching. That was the one
so
moment.
So she decides to sleep with the terrorist.
I'm just saying that little kernel.
But you know what? She decides to sleep with the terrorist and show like off her no legs, and they never mention that again, that she doesn't have legs anymore. And then let me finish. And she was flirting with John the whole entire time because she wanted him and Ethan to be a family, and John was saying no to her the whole time, but she kept pressing and pressing. So no, I don't like that, like people want to ignore her bad things and say it was a glimmer of hope, or when she does something bad, it was the writers, blah blah blah.
You're absolutely right, and all I'm saying is I wish that they had forgotten the whole, they could have, for me to be happy, they could have forgotten the whole rest of the show and had the whole story be about her and the boy, and her realizing he's sentient and not being able to control what happens to him.
That would have been a powerful, simple thread.
That would have been a really touching. Yeah, and she's a very good actress, and every watching her go through those emotions was really touching. That's the only time on the show I saw something.
And listen, I actually, with that as the main thread, or had that been the main thread, I actually liked the love triangle problem with the fact that she and John had built Ethan, and then Hallie kind of comes in on the scene.
Yeah, and she's a little cold, she doesn't really like him.
Remember the first season? So she had an issue with Ethan to start and she, because she wasn't of that world, she didn't really understand what the creating that life and what building that was about.
Right.
So that was a strong the love triangle, or her, I'm not going to say animosity, but just her disappointment against Molly made a whole lot of sense. The insanity and the cotton ball threads that we saw in the first season, that stuff was consistent, was very interesting. Now, I agree, Kat, they took a convenient path with her loving the terrorist and all that stuff.
Yeah, that ruined her.
Because it really was a turn right at the end. The fact that she was pining for John, I don't think detracted from her character. That made sense from the start as who she was and what was going on there. We picked that out early in the series that there was that kind of tension there.
Yeah,
so I don't hate on her for having that, but I think that, okay, so my point is that arc and what was going on with her, she had sort of one of the most stable, believable, understandable tracks in the first season. And with the exception of the chairs, which technically even though it was convenient, you can also say that when she realized that she was not going to get John, that she just kind of went on a bender there with the first dude that pulled around. With that said, second season. Now I know you're not a fan of hers, but I think she took a dramatic and unnecessary turn to the dark for the second season, because it did not seem like everything that had gone on before that, even her fling with the bad boy, all of that kind of made sense. Who she became at the drop of a hat at the beginning of season two seemed way too jarring.
That was a different character. That felt like part of the reboot. I was just like, okay.
Yep.
All right.
That was the point I was just trying to make, that, Molly and
Julie, to me, it seemed consistent with her, because she was always a homewrecker.
No.
And then all she did when John John dissed her and told her that he didn't want her skanky butt, she was like, I'm having a problem with John. You need to handle it. And she knows she was responsible for getting that dude hit by the train. She knows she was. Sure. And that's why she felt so damn guilty. And then she had nerve enough. Ethan was like, doing all this stuff. Well, I'm going to put in that I'm his mommy now, what she always wanted. No, sorry. I'm sorry. I don't feel sorry for Skanky Julie. And I'm really glad that she is in like the utility closet buried right now.
So okay. Harsh. All right.
So harsh.
So I forgot what I was going
to
say.
Go ahead. Yeah, because you were going to try to defend some crap and it wasn't going to work. And
a difference between trying to defend her now or try to say what would have been nice as a correction.
Yeah, there you go.
To the whole story, okay? And I'm only trying to introduce what would have been a nice correction. What would have made me happy? And
I agree with your correction though, because I wanted her to be not the homewrecker, because if you take the homewrecker crap out, she is a wonderful character. She's nice. She's sympathetic. Right. Okay. And I love that. Right. I get that. But once you introduce the homewrecker quality, that's when Kat, just the claws come out.
I'm sensing a nerve there. I'm sensing a nerve.
She's right. I think for her to have had those feelings, like when I saw that she was having those feelings, I felt for her, as long as she didn't do anything.
Right.
As long as she doesn't do anything and she's torn and she feels like she's in a family. She spends more time with the husband than
Halle Berry does.
And
because by the way, we all knew from season one that who she should have been messing with was Charlie.
Charlie, once again,
Tom, in the extent arc of pacing and proper unveiling of drama. Just like that, she kisses Charlie. It happened. And we're like, what? Huh? This was supposed to have been before Terrorist Season 1. So now, all of a sudden, they're trying to shoehorn the relationship that should have been there.
No, they tried to do it the whole time. I found that a little believable, though. I found that believable because now she's in a crate in the utility closet. So he has to do the whole damsel in distress thing.
Tied to the train track. See,
but the thing that I really liked about her, I'm sorry, Tom. Let me get this out for a second. The thing that I really liked that I think Julie got her comeuppance was with Lucy, because Lucy came in and she was like, she was skanky Lucy, and she was just like the worst. She had no AI about her at all. She did not feel like, I wanted her to feel like the robots on humans. I wanted her to feel a little bit like that, but she just felt all young adult, post-teen college, you know.
You can't believe her as a robot, is that what
I cannot. And are you saying robot like from the 1960s? Are you really doing the Twilight Zone pronunciation of robot right now? Because that is hilarious to me.
He's keeping it Isaac Asimov.
I love you right now, so okay. Anyway, that's my favorite with you. You must pronounce it that way always.
Stop.
Robot?
This.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
That's one of my, I have other words that happens to me on, and you're welcome to.
That's what we do here on the Sci-Fi. It's all love.
Tom, what's your take on Lucy?
Oh my God.
Lucy, you know, I'm just happy that she's part of the main threads that I wanted the show to be about.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean? They
didn't put limiters on her and she seems kind, but you're not sure, and she turns out not to be so kind. I find her to be there's something about her face, and maybe I'm just getting old, but she seems so young that some of the sex scenes with her creep me out a little bit. I don't know. Maybe that's
You said that. That's very good, because I know Carl is a little bit of a pet. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Carl. It was the worst joke of all time. I'm probably going to edit that out. But I'm glad you said that. I think she is young. She's probably, I don't know, 18 or whatever, or probably 17. I don't mind that at all. I think she plays a really confident young lady, and she knows what she wants or whatever, but it's not really what I expect to see in a robot. You know, I expect
this a robot.
A robot. No, I don't want to look at her robot.
This,
okay. She was all robot. So, I don't know. She just has just a tiny bit too much personality too much attitude to be a robot or to be AI. This is what I don't like about the current storytelling, because none of anything that we creating now as far as robots or anything are that advanced where they can have that much of an attitude. So to see something that is near future have that much, you know, spice or whatever, I miss Data. You know, he had, he still had a little bit of attitude. He would crack a joke every once in a while, but you know, it was because he had, you know, programming, but then he took it out. You can tell the actor could dial it back and be more robotic or whatever. I want to see more of that. And she's just too human.
No, I totally agree with that. And I think they nailed it on humans.
I agree.
I think I can overlook it is all I'm saying, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like she's trying to be too, I think the ultimate of sexy robot female is 7 of 9. Like, she, I think, to me, was perfect. And to me, if you're going to do sexy robot female, you need to look to 7 of 9 and do it better, not whatever Lucy's doing.
Yeah, and get into some of the things that are different, that might always be different about this new life form. If it's exactly like us, you're right, it's not that... even if you believe the character, it's not all that interesting. It would be really interesting. Now, certainly they've got her without any limits, without any kind of empathy. And she's completely manipulative at this point. I think that's where they're going. But she still
has like romantic feelings for Charlie. And maybe, she was disappointed about there was a date. And, oh, this is just for me. This is nice. But like, I want to see her have a glitch. Or I want to see her like not use consonants. Or I want to see something.
Something that's really special that has to do that she does things that a human really can't. Can't do. Yeah. No. Yeah. That would definitely make her a better character.
But is that the old way of portraying robots on TV? Or are they all just going to be like, you know, whatever? Let's scratch your balls. Let's, you know.
Yeah, and then it's not really science fiction anymore either.
It gets back to that original thing where they're trying to expand science fiction into something that is something else. And the whole purpose of having the two species are supposed to be countering humans. They're supposed to be exaggerated versions of humans. They're supposed to be showing things that humans aren't. In a way that is interesting, you know, that's telling us a moral story or something. The only thing we've seen is she has an AI attitude, AI scale attitude.
Yeah,
that's it.
Attitude, that's intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they get confused sometimes. I think the writers, you know, sci-fi can be scary, but scary isn't sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know, sci-fi can be about relationships, but just relationships doesn't make good science fiction.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't care which human about any of the humans in love with each other. Yeah. I don't care about any of those love stories like Halle Berry and the New Cop,
making love in a tent.
Yeah, I really, that has nothing to do with the main threads. Again, it doesn't tie into anything, any of the science. It doesn't tie into, so I just don't.
Why wasn't it a space tent? It could have hovered. I mean, why did we see like shadow boxing lovemaking? Why was that?
Oh, that was so shoehorned in. You just needed a distraction so Ethan could get. What the heck was going? All right.
So Ethan, they needed the one lady who we found out was not human, was his longtime robot companion, who was a lady who also had lots of attitude once she had her voice. And the first day she was like, "What the hell you do?" And I'm like, really? That's the first thing out of her mouth. And she, okay, whatever. Oh, fine. We're going to let it slide. So she did all this to get her to be able to talk and be her companion, only to be arrested. And she's going to go do what now?
I just want to address the technical thing. All right. Just The man can build a sentient AI. Can't make a speech synthesizer.
Well, you know, he said that all of the government took all of his.
No. The man didn't have a tablet around. You could just. I mean, you got Siri. She could type. I mean, for him to try and wreck Ethan just for the speech. That was
and it really had nothing to do with the story. Number one,
just
number
a plot
two,
device, a random plot device.
But number
but
two,
it was two of them. It was combat. Yep. The sex scene combined with the stealing of the voice chip.
Instead of asking,
but
for
where
help,
did Ethan
just,
get his second one? Where did he get the second
one?
No.
Remember, he had his little spider bot that he had carrying around, which we all noticed has never spoken. But
the spider bot had a.
All right, yeah. So now we're getting into suspension of disbelief, right?
Oh, are we getting into that?
Yeah, I think there are a few.
I thought we were there already with the cotton balls.
Into the series, we had suspended all disbelief. But at this point, it's just an exercise. I mean, Kat, when they took us to the carnival, I was like, oh, no.
I thought of you, Carl. I was like, you know what? This show is done.
It's done. When they went to the carnival, because we had...
That was the end of Heroes.
You're already part of the team. You already know.
I was trying to remember, what was the other... Because it was biting at me. It was just... I was like, what was the other series that had the carnival that is bothering me, that got canceled right away? What was... I couldn't remember. And then... Calderon showed up. It was the cape.
I remember the cape. It's the cape and Heroes.
Keith David showed up. Just moments after the carnival scene, our guy from the cape, I was like, it all came back to me. So please, sci-fi programs, do not ever go back to the carnival. There's no reason for this. There's no reason to go to the carnival.
The only reason
I will accept a visit to the carnival is if you are telling the story of Dick Grayson, and even then it better be 10 minutes. That's it. No more carnival. Stop, for the love of God, you guys. All right, I'm done.
That's how I felt. And you know, the other time, a science fiction show tried to appeal to everyone. Mm. You remember Grey's Anatomy in Space, Defying Gravity?
Death Grab. There are moments where this show feels so much like Defying Gravity.
Carl, did you ever watch those final three episodes, man?
I haven't.
My God. Those are worth watching. Like, it will complete your soul. Like, you have to watch the whole thing again just to watch those.
I will watch the last three. Defying Gravity was, once again, it was Tom's pizza mix. It's what it was. It was all of the pieces of what
Tom,
the show
did. Did you see Defying Gravity?
I did not. Otherwise, I'm sure I'd have several loud opinions. When I go quiet, it means I have not.
So, wow. You got away with murder on that one because...
I will simply say Shonda Rhimes doing sci-fi is what happened.
Is that what that was?
Well, I don't know if it was actually her, but that's sure what it felt like.
That's really what it felt like.
So sometimes there are directions that you probably shouldn't pull sci-fi in.
No, if you go to the Wikipedia page, they literally describe it as Grey's Anatomy in space.
That's what it was. So we don't want a repeat of that.
We try real hard on that one, Carl.
Because once again, okay, overall... Now, okay, let me just say, and I'm going to say this about Extant. Whatever it is doing, it certainly has my curiosity, okay? that is my summary of all of this. I have no idea where they're going. Every episode is a surprise. I really don't exactly...
That's right. Well, hey, if somebody mixes all the ingredients of a pizza together, don't you kind of want to taste it?
Yeah.
It's going to taste like a pizza. It's just not going to look like
you
one.
You kind of want to
know
what?
Like, it's going to be a Hot Pocket.
It's a Hot Pocket. Yeah. It's a calderone. Yeah, calderone.
All right. Okay. Oh, so put Extant in the microwave. It might taste a little bit.
Yeah. It's better on the reheating.
Uh-oh. They're coming for me.
Yeah. That's good. Who's coming for you, Kat? Is it the AIs or the aliens?
Oh, my God. So, I mean, we haven't seen the alien group of aliens in, a few episodes. So, they killed off a lot of them. I don't understand. Like, so is that thread gone? Are we done with that or what?
Sometimes. There's no thread in extent. It's the cotton ball, I tell you.
Okay. So they're
out. But
hey, and what happened? Somebody enlighten me. What happened with the birds? Remember, and I brought this up before, but I just realized I have no idea what happened with Ethan, and he kept doing stuff to birds.
No, they never
addressed. I think they were just trying to do the creepy child thing.
There was no end. So someday we'll find Julie's leg, and it'll be stuffed full of birds.
Yep, that'll be the
end. Well, we found birds that died on the, what do you call that, the invisible force field.
On the invisible
field.
Wall.
Hey,
yep. They did a dome thing.
About that scene. So they dial in the code that drops the invisible shield, mm-hmm. right? They drive through, and then it was night. How big was that dome that they were driving?
I didn't catch that.
I was like, what? Because I really thought that the shield went down, and I thought it was just, like a couple blocks, and then they were at the place. They when they pulled up at the joint, it was night.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't notice.
And they missed Ethan. They didn't know Ethan was there.
What?
They were all walking down the trail, and then the two.
Go on.
Are you sure? It was. It just was dark.
They didn't know Ethan. Ethan just disappeared, and
no, they left them in the car. And then they got out to walk. And then she came. They got out to walk and they let you stay in the car no matter what happened. And so they got out the car and Mute Lady got on there and she came with the gun like a cloud. And she only saw the two people. And then so they walked in and then Ethan started blowing the horn. And then he was like, stay here, baby. Keep the gun on him. And then she got worried about him. And then he took the gun and then somebody got punched.
Okay. But I'm just pointing out in terms of, you can call it discontinuity, or should we just assume
that
the shield is so far away from where this guy's house was that it became night by the time they got there?
Maybe it was early evening. Maybe it was early. Also, how obvious is it to have a telephone, random telephone booth
in the middle of the woods?
In the woods, right. Yeah. Right. That made total sense.
That makes no sense. And then so we had, not only that was random, we had the random appearance of lady from CSI New York with straightened hair. And then there was a daughter who was pregnant, but not pregnant by an alien, but she can't quite remember who got her pregnant, maybe.
Yeah.
And then that went away.
The daughter father thing who can't get along.
Oh, please.
Yeah. They just threw that in there and that disappeared.
Totally unnecessary.
We had the incest situation where Halle Berry almost fell in love with her, or air quote fell in love with her son.
Yeah,
seemed like he would have mentioned that a little sooner than
he
did.
Yeah, I think he knew, and I'm just I don't, maybe it's not a big deal where they come, maybe they were born on Risa. I don't know.
Creepy.
So there was just Halle Berry still has the alien glowy eye thing, but she did not.
Okay, hey, yeah. I wanted to say something.
Okay,
right off the bat.
Do it.
If you're starting to, if in the first couple of episodes of a show, people's eyes are glowing, it's your own fault after that. We have to take responsibility after that. Because when those eyes glowed, I remember having that reaction at that point, just going, oh, really? Really glowing eyes?
I thought Kat would love it because it was like channeling Manimal. So, and she loves that stuff.
Really? I've never watched Manimal. I don't know why you think Manimal is my thing.
Oh, because it was like corny old 80s sci-fi that was not sci-fi.
No, not my thing. I just did not understand, why are we doing the glowy eye?
Fractal rash.
We
need a sign that alien stuff is happening.
Ah,
so that's what that means. Fractal rash.
You know, she did the
eyes.
You know, they got cheap on this latest episode. She did the eyes. She did the eyes, but we didn't see the fractal rash. They got really cheap this latest
season has been on a budget. Clearly, mm-hmm. Yes, no doubt. Even Ethan's spider bot, I kind of threw an eyebrow about.
Carl can build that in like an hour. I don't know what the hell they doing.
That looked like one of the Toy Story rejected toys. You know,
Here's the thing: when you're having a private conversation with somebody, you've snuck off somewhere in a closet and you're having a private conversation with them.
You do that, Tom.
And if a little robot comes in that goes zzz, 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 and it has a headlamp on it, a bright blue headlamp, and it's got servos from Radio Shack.
You can hear them. A mile away.
Yeah, and you don't notice, you know, again, suspension of disbelief.
There was drinking, and then there was, like, boobs in his face. So.
Well, yeah, okay, that's true.
Yeah, there you go. Because if you're drunk and there's boobs in your face, I'm straight, and I don't think I would notice a robot in the corner.
Now, see, now, the next time that happens, I'm going to be looking for robots. I'm just going to be looking around.
Okay, so that's going to be 10 years, huh?
I'm going to ignore that.
So speaking of which, one of the reasons you can like the show is...
I want to hear this.
Well, okay, one of the concepts I really like is every once in a while, Halle Berry goes crazy and loses her mind and sleeps with a regular guy. So that gives me a reason to get up in the morning.
The morning after guy was like, "Hey, I'm just happy to be here."
I felt like he was every American male ever. Like,
that was hilarious. That was, you know how they have those contests where like a fan could win a slot, you know, a slot on the show? That we'd never seen him before. He had all of five words and all the thing. It's like he won a contest. He's like, that's my cue. I'm out. And he just left. It was perfect.
Yeah, so anyway, you know, the idea that Halle Berry's finding random guys in restaurants, it just makes me want to go to Denny's and hang out.
Oh, my God. That was hilarious. I forgot about that. I didn't like the crazy angle because, to me, it was just like, I don't know. I won't say that I'm a feminist or whatever.
It belittled the strength of her character from the whole first season.
Thank you. That is exactly what I wanted to say. You're so eloquent. Carl.
Thank you. I could feel it. I could feel. Thank that's you, why I had an issue. That's Thank that. You, that this reboot characters. They took it out on our main character. So,
and yeah, I don't know how she agreed to do this. Like, what was her motivation in doing this sort of character? Because I just felt it was off the rails. It felt like she was trying to be like Jack Bauer / Nancy Drew, but aliens. Like, I don't understand.
Well,
you mean why she would take the part?
Yeah, I mean, why she would say, like, this is a great thing to do in the carnival, and I'd like, why? How is this furthering her career? Because
maybe it was in her contract to do two seasons, who knows? But I will say this, after we've dumped on this show so much, I like, there are a lot of good actors in there. And I haven't had a moment in there where I've been cringing at the acting.
Yeah.
Those actors, I mean, they are squeezing every last bit out of the story.
I would
getting.
Say Lucy is a big, that actress, she's young, so she needs a little bit of polish. Other than that, I'll agree.
I would like to point out one other minor detail. We all have been asking why would Halle Berry agree to this part. The reason is because she is one of the producers of the show.
Oh, shit.
Mm. So she owns
Hi,
it.
Hi, Halle. I think you're pretty awesome. And I like what you're doing. It's just a little all over the place. And I don't like the depiction of, like, oh, you're a crazy woman. Like, it's just like you're an upstanding scientist, but all of a sudden you're a crazy part of the lone gunman in the basement with
three
geeks.
The defense of that, if there can be one, is that she was pushed to that because of the circumstances that she was involved in. But
yeah, but then she, like, opening season two, she was basically doing virtual masturbation in a psychiatric hospital.
We're saying that the drugs and the fact that she could not get the truth out, even though she knew it was the truth, is what pushed her to that.
But does she still have the truth out? Because they're still like on the news saying that she's a terrorist, and then they killed the governor and he's a terrorist.
But now at least she's working on the truth. Before, she was just in a box and knew that the danger was coming. So that was a
But what has she achieved? Like, has, like, so far, but yeah, I understand that. But so, okay, here's where we are. We have maybe, I don't know, maybe 5 hybrids left, if I'm correct. But now we have this AI robot threat.
Stop.
Because of Tyson or Tyrell or... What's Taylor. Taylor, sorry. I'm watching too many shows. And so I don't get... I mean, how many episodes do we have left? God, how many...
Well, but again, you're assuming that this would take a normal story-like bit, which clearly this series is doing its own thing. Now, seriously, if we get a third season,
There's not going to be a third season.
I am afraid that I agree with you, but let's be
Tumbleweeds keep on rolling.
Yeah, let's just say if they get a third season, all they need to do is simplify a little bit more. They have been confining the tumbleweed. If they just stick with the humans against the AIs, and with a little help from the super friends, whoever we would call the hybrids,
mm-hmm. You're killing me.
You could do it.
They are definitely. I never expected them to narrow it down this much in the last couple of episodes.
Agreed.
So it really looks like they're trying, and I'll give them props for that. If they could simplify the business with the confusing parts of the aliens. If they could even further simple, like give them a couple of superpowers they can do, but don't go too far.
Yep.
Leave it at that.
Are missing the point. This show started out in space. It needs to be in space. Why aren't we in space? Why are we in the future? They're wearing clothes from freaking Abercrombie and Fitch, for Christ's sakes. And The Gap. Like, they tried on the first season with the costuming. Yeah, they really tried.
Yeah,
and this season, it's in Canada.
No, but we know it's because they are running this season on the cheap. That's the reason.
That's because the reason. They hired too many expensive actors, and I thought the actors they had before were fine. Well, maybe John didn't respond because he was foreign. I think people are being racist.
What? I don't think that was it.
Really?
I think she might be right. I'm
not trying to call you racist or anything because you hated John, but I'm just saying that.
No, I think you're right. I think I had a bad reaction to his accent.
Really?
I think I did. I think that was part of the weirdness. Like I would now, I would totally buy him as a weird, creepy bad guy. But as a loving husband, I just couldn't. There was something about that accent. Maybe she's right.
I don't know. I felt like they. I don't know. I felt it.
I think I was
in love with the guy a little bit.
Yeah, because I'm gonna nitpick here because you went off on a girl. What's her name?
Lucy.
No.
Oh, Skanky Julie.
Yeah, you went off on Julie, but
Julie.
But you you forgot that he was not a loving husband through most of the first season.
Yes, he was. He was very understanding.
If you watch it, it's very clear that he was preoccupied with his work. He was obsessed
both
with
of them
machine.
Were.
But
them
that's
were.
The point I'm making is that distance between them was a direct result of each of them going their own way. And so he was not a loving husband waiting there for. He was kind of like, look, I was trying to make things work and she went to space. So I'm going to work on my robot and we'll see when she gets back. That's what really was going on there.
He was understanding. He understood about her her previous lover dying and her seeing him talking about help me. And her coming back pregnant, he was very understanding. And I thought he was very warm
towards her. Now, I thought Halle Berry had too many issues, and he tried to, and she needed more therapy and more help than he could give her. And that was something that drove between her, and she was using space as an excuse to not deal with a lot of things. And then they had her as like the mother who didn't quite want to be a mother.
She was evil stepmom. She was the evil stepmom for part of this. Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, when it came down to it, she loved Ethan.
In the end, she did.
No.
Yeah, I think the story of her coming around to love Ethan was, that's an exciting thing that should have been.
I agree with you,
Tom. Wanted a lot more of that. And going back to Julie and.
Skanky Julie.
Stop it.
Skanky Julie. going back to Julie being evil and erasing his brain, erasing Ethan's mind, that could have been very powerful if she loved him so much and his memories were really killing him, and you saw that she couldn't stand to watch it.
Yeah,
her doing something evil to get back at Halle Berry, it was something she couldn't stand to watch,
how it came across to me.
No,
was half there. It was half there, but it didn't really come. And that could have been powerful, I thought.
Yep.
Well, I thought because the guy, the little boy, was trying to blow himself up and overheat himself, that little, it was there for her that she wanted that to be erased. Also, like, if I agree with her in that, I'm agreeing with Skanky Julie, that if Molly is, you know, going crazy, doing her whole thing, she was an unfit mother. I mean, she was skanking around, like, in crazy parts of stuff, growing her nails, because that's wacky. I don't think she was, you know, able to handle Ethan. So I just think it was like she should have made herself the mother for Ethan. Nope.
That's right.
But she just should have like removed those sort of things and just kind of started over. But the making him like where he called her mommy, that was a bit much.
That was too bad, because the thing that we supposed to respect the most about Julie and Charlie is they were really interested in bringing these machines to life and exploring the potential of who they were as unique beings. So for her to try to melon ball scoop out parts of Molly from his brain, it was a violation of what her character's love for Ethan was supposed to have been like.
Yeah. She becomes not the character you really, really want her to be.
Right.
And I think part of that is because, and this is another problem with the whole series, is that a lack of warm characters. The first season was like early Julie, not Skanky Julie.
Yep.
But early Julie and Charlie were the only.
And don't forget, because what happened is they all got poisoned toward the end of the season. But yes, Julie, Charlie, and Sam, who was Cameron Manheim. Remember the doctor?
She was the third one.
Wait, who now?
The doctor.
The doctor who initially detected that Molly was pregnant, you remember she was in the doc. She's who Molly was confiding in.
Oh, dang! I forgot about her. They don't even have her.
Yeah, she was kind.
Yes,
and so they had in the whole show the time given to the kind characters that you really like, that you really want to root for. The time given is like 2 minutes. It's like nothing.
Yeah.
And that was a big mistake, because what you're faced with is just endless either characters that are either bad because that's their character, or they're creepy and possessed, or they're a creepy little kid and the creepy robot and they're possessed
and become unlikable and unrelatable.
Yeah,
and because look, even the best villains are likable and relatable.
Right.
You may not like what they're doing, but you're like, yeah, I could see that. One day I might try that. You know?
Right.
That's
I think that's what prevented me from like relating to Lucy, because everything was
oh, this is just as simple as this, and I am smart, and I can do everything, and hey, look at me, I am so confident about what I am doing, and yes, da, da, da. And she just had a tone that got right up under my skin, and I was just like, what's happening? So when they made her evil, I liked it, but then I didn't get it, because she still had the same tone when she wasn't white as evil, so it's confusing. Like, I wanted her to have a goatee to, like, differentiate between evil Lucy and okay Lucy, you know?
Yeah, I think they're trying to set up a character that's really interesting, because although she acts like a teenage girl, she's really pretty terrifying. I think that's what they're going for there. But I understand your reaction.
I get what you're saying. Okay.
Like, yeah, so...
I don't know. Well,
so wow, I didn't in think, conclusion.
Well, I was just saying, I didn't think that we would have that much to say about this show, but
we are corralling the cotton balls so much. I mean, we really, all of the loose, if we just tried to track down the loose people, you totally forgot about Cameron Manheim from the first season. You know, if we tried to track down the loose pieces that they could have done something with, that they might have brought back, or that might unexpectedly reoccur. Like, you know what? I believe in season three that we can get to see our man, Alan Sparks. He's going to come back. He's going to crawl out of a hole somewhere, and he's going to be like, Molly, I got the secret. I know what to do. Because, you know, he was thrown in a crazy house just like she was. So, and she came back the hero. So I'm holding out hope.
That's
that
hilarious.
Sparks is going to come out of someplace and save
him. I kept thinking that they were going to pull him out. Like they said that this man that, oh, we know who someone on the inside who can blah, blah. I was like, oh my God, here it is. Michael O'Neill is coming. And then they did it several times. And I was just like, here it comes. Here it is. Here it is. Oh.
You guys bring Michael O'Neill back. He's awesome.
But then I kept thinking, like, so what could he contribute? Like, what?
Well, see, now, but look, you need somebody who knows all about the stuff that, you know, that the governor would have known, but to join them on the run.
Yes, oh my God, I believe with you now, Carl.
See, I'm serious. I mean, it's not forcing it. You've got to have that government rep that knew all the stuff that the governor did, because we knew, I kind of thought that before the drone hit him, that the governor was going to join him on the run, and he would be like the government insider, and he would know the ins and outs, and of course, all of his black ops buddies that are, you know, retired, but still, you know, evil and powerful, that we were going to get. So I was like, come on, that's Sparks. Give it to Sparks. Bring him back. Bring him back.
Oh my God. That would have
been. Hey, you never know what's going to happen.
Especially with this series.
Yeah.
I guess that is good about it. I don't know. But it's, I feel like the average person that they're trying to appeal to would have lost interest in it a long time ago. I don't hear any people randomly talking about Extant on the street. Like I do, say, Game of Thrones or anything like that. So I don't know who's watching it and why there would be a third season. I mean, because of course I want actors to be employed and writers and directors. However, I also am a fan of them keeping things tight and together, and I just think they had too many cooks in the kitchen and they tried way too many different things. I do agree with Tom about the bravery that it is, if something's not working, let's axe it. I do agree with you about that. However, you know, it does not create a consistent story. And that's really what I'm looking for. Something really tight. Something really Babylon 5 tight, you know?
So, wow. I don't know. Yeah, you don't see that much anymore.
No. Like, bring me a Vorlon, you know?
You want Londo?
I want Londo.
Three years later, people.
Right? Right? Yes. That's what I need. So.
Oh, that wasn't Londo. That was his sidekick. But
well,
anyway,
you know, I get what you were saying. I know what you were saying.
Thank you.
So, any last thoughts?
Well, I think there's... Kat brought up the lack of science in science fiction lately. And I think that's a big discussion that might be had in full some other time. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely more to say about that. This show, good acting. The the production looks pretty. There's no weird filming, no weird acting. The stories are a bit of a mess. So.
It's very generous, sir.
I am curious. That is, again, I don't know what they're going to do. I never know what they're going to do, but I am curious. And so I this has been an experience. It, clearly, we have a lot to
Carl,
say.
the one rule about Extend, there are no rules.
Yeah, true. It's like Fight Club, right?
Oh, my God.
No one can talk. That's the thing. We didn't get the rules. No one should actually speak of Extend. No one can talk about Extend. But they're in a pit watching it somewhere, I guess.
Oh, my God.
So, if they bring out a third season of this, I am going to watch it.
Oh, my God.
I am going to watch
it. You know what, Carl? I'm giving you crap, but I do agree about the curiosity. I don't know why I keep tuning in, and I keep tuning in mainly because I'm not really – I think I am curious. Like, where is this going to go? I want this to go.
It's like a bad relationship. I feel – like, I keep watching it, and I feel – I get hurt. I feel hurt and confused.
Been hurt too many times.
And I keep going back.
Doesn't hurt so good, Tom.
You're just like us, Tom. Oh my God, you're part of the crew, and you've always been, because we are all jilted lovers of science fiction television shows, and
well,
we can't get enough
for
of them.
Me,
yeah, yeah. My name is Kat. That is Carl, and yes, we are all sci-fi caholics.
Welcome, Tom. Welcome to our group.
Thank you very much.
Oh, okay, Carl. Are we going to wrap this up?
That's it. That's all I got.
Well, I'm going to try to do the outro to the show from memory.
Awesome.
773-336-2686. Give us a call. That's the phone number. We have a website that is scifipartyline.com. We are at Sci-Fi Party Line on Twitter, Facebook, Stitcher Radio. We have an online discussion group for Facebook.
Also known as a help group.
Yes, where exactly. You can get help. Hanako is going to Dragon Con.
The only one of the guard that's making it this year. Hanako represent the sci-fi
we won't
party
have
line
Scotch
proudly.
Alley. Yeah, Scotch Alley has to be next year.
Scotch.
Yeah, so you can get Carl at
Global Minister.
And Tom, do you have a Twitter account or any way if somebody wants to send you a very nasty comment about your... Or a very positive comment, because we don't really have anybody to send nasty comments.
I am currently kind of disconnected from the cloud, but you can chewywater@yahoo.com.
Oh my God, you got to get Twitter, son. Just for this.
Okay. I will hook up with the cloud and let you know.
Awesome.
So we hope you enjoyed this episode of Extant. Kat was drinking wine. Carl was sober. Tom was sober. And join us next time for the party.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, all.